And welcome to another edition of Inside the Helmet here at OpenPaddock.net. Very happy to have with us the driver of the number 2 Firestone Indy Lights machine for Team More Racing, Juan Pablo Garcia. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today, sir?
Hello, thanks again for the invitation. I'm really glad to talk here with you. And thanks a lot for your time right here. I'm really, really good beginning the half season of Indy Lights.
We've seen you around the Indy Lights paddock for a couple of years, 3-4 years now at least. But certainly you didn't get started in motorsports driving Indy Lights cars. How did you get into motorsports in the first place? What first attracted you to it?
Well, I'm the first member of my family that is into the motorsports. So we're experiencing new things all the way. But I have many uncles that love speed. So when I was younger, I always was with this uncle and my father, always watching F1 and Champ Car races.
Mm-hmm.
And I think since there, my good thing from the motorsports started, no? Also, one day I said my father made a big mistake that was taking me to a car track down in Mexico, and that was like when everything started to get in shape.
Well, tell me about getting involved in karts. How old were you at the time, and did you take to it right away? When did you realize that this was something that was perhaps more than just fun, but could be a potential career for you?
Well, since the beginning, I tried to make it a career for me. But meanwhile, I was racing go-karts in Mexico, so I was starting high school. I don't know how to say it on English, but I think it was high school. Was starting to be on high school. So at that point, I really wanted to be a race car driver, but also I needed to finish my studies with my parents. I started winning races in karts and then championship. And then I received an invitation to race Formula Renault Mexico. I think that invitation made a big movement on my point of view of this. And since then, I started putting more focus into this. As soon as I jumped into that open wheel car, I thought, okay, now this is becoming more of the way that I want to live, so I need to really do a big effort on here. Thanks God, I'm still in racing open wheel cars, and hopefully I'll be for many, many more years.
You started out in Formula cars in what is a very often typical way, racing Formula 2000 cars, but then in 2006, 2007, you got to race an A1 GP car carrying your national flag, racing for Team Mexico. Tell us about that experience. What was it like going from a Formula 2000 car to these very sophisticated A1 GP cars?
Well, actually, on that time while I was driving an A1 car, I was driving in Europe for British Formula 3. And the next year, I drove Formula Renault Eurocup. I think I was more familiar with European tracks, with the level and everything of the championship. So my first A1 GP race at Brands Hatch, it was really, really hard for me. First, on Wednesday, I received a call from the owner telling me that I was going to drive for Mexico, but only the rookie session. And actually, I remember I didn't have time to walk the track or to know the team because everything was so late that I arrived Thursday night and my first session was Friday morning. So it was really hard for me. And actually, the first session, we had an electrical problem with the car, so I only did half of the session. The next session, so as soon as I finished the second session of rookies, the owner comes to me and tells me, okay, now prepare your mind because you are racing now. So I was really happy driving those kind of cars. It was a big step for me. But I think I managed really well that car. And the next year, I repeat, being the rookie driver, the official rookie driver of the team.
Well, going in racing in Europe and racing here in the U.S. is very, very different. What is it that first brought you to the U.S.? What brought you to specifically to the Firestone Indy Light Series and kind of away from the European scene?
Well, I had some fights with my sponsors after racing European Formula Renault. So I thought, okay, maybe I'll go to America. I've always wanted to run in America a Champ Car. Before running, trying to go to F1, I always wanted to go to Champ Car. And, well, I searched for good open wheel in America, and I saw Indy Lights. I say, okay, this seems to be a really good series, and it's supporting one of the best of America that I want to roll to race later. So that's why I arrived to Indy Lights.
Well, now, when you first started racing, if I have this right, you started racing for HBM Racing back in 2009. Was that at Sonoma?
Yeah, my first race was in Sonoma with HBM, and everything was prepared by Michael Crawford.
Tell us a little bit about how the environment was different for you racing at Sonoma, a natural terrain road course, in Indy Lights versus racing, say, a natural terrain road course in the European scene. Were there style differences, or was it pretty much racing is racing and you just go?
Well, racing is racing. You know, you just go, like you say. Everything that has wheel, engine, brakes, and power, it's very similar. You have some little details that are from series to series. But I think a very big change from Europe to here is that in America, all the events are more familiar. You know, all the general ambient is... I like more being in America than in Europe, you know? I noticed that since the first day I arrived, made my driver's physicals at Indianapolis. I was really happy to be racing Indy Lights, and I'm still really happy to be here in America racing an open wheel car.
Well, since coming here, it's been a bit of a struggle to stay in a car. You had one race with HVM in 2009, and then you were with Michael Crawford Motorsports 2010, but only for a couple of races, and in 2011 started the season with Jensen Motorsport, but only for the first four. How frustrating is that, wanting to race and not having a full season deal put together?
Well, you know, for a driver's point of view, it's very frustrating because it's the only thing you want to do, and as soon as you jump into the car, you're really happy driving it, trying to make all the limit of the car and everything. And when you realize that it's your last race because you don't have the money for the next one, it's really hard. The car is really tough for you. When I was on my last race with Jensen after Indianapolis, that I knew I wasn't going to go to the next race. It was really hard for me. I was trying to search money until the last minute, but, well, Mexico on that point was really hard to get money at that point. And, well, finally I got a second year with a full agreement for that year, and, well, I really need to take advantage of that. Last year was my first complete year, and I took it like the rookie year because even though I was making some races before, it's never similar as last year or this year. Your mind changes a lot when you know you have a full year deal instead of partial races.
Well, now with that 2012 season with Jeffrey Mark Motorsport, you had a full time ride, but of course Jeffrey Mark Motorsport, fine people, but they weren't really at the sharp end of the grid. Was that frustrating as well? And how did you as a driver try to overcome that, knowing that perhaps the machinery you had wasn't quite up to where it needed to be to get you to the front of the pack?
Well, it's very hard for us to make that. It was a last-minute deal. It was pretty much the only option that I had, and I knew I needed to take that to be in a good team this year. But, well, as a driver, if you're on the best car or you're on the worst car, you need to make the best out of it. Last year, over the races, we made big improvements. At the end of the year, the last five, four races, we were running pretty much on times of the top five. But, well, that wasn't racing, but on qualifying, we were running slower. But I think we made a huge improvement last year since the first day I was into the car until the last day. Also, I was new to ovals. I didn't have any experience in Europe. You never race in an oval, so... My first test in an oval was really to get comfortable into driving an oval. And then, because I didn't have a real teammate pretty much every year last year, it was really hard for me to get into traffic. So the races were not easy for me. I never experienced what was the draft or being in behind somebody into the corners or being wheel to wheel, you know, at that speed. Like for Indy, you go on the four corners wheel to wheel. This year I found it really excited, but last year it was really hard because it's not what you're used to it on Europe.
Yeah, you know, I do want to talk about Indy here before we get into your moving up to Team War Racing. You mentioned you had been watching Champ Car races as a youngster and appreciated that. Were you also then a fan of the Indianapolis 500?
Yeah, for sure. I was really a fan of all the series, and especially Indy 500. I found it, at that time, I thought it was really easy to drive an oval, but now that I'm driving, I found it isn't.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how people, you just put your foot down and turn left, right? That's all there is to it.
Yeah, but no, there's a lot behind.
What are people missing? What are they misunderstanding? What would you tell people that would say, oh, it should be easy?
Well, for sure, now I can tell you it's not easy because you lose 100%, well, not 100, but maybe 0.5% of downforce when you're behind somebody. It's really easy when you're by yourself in an oval. It's really easy because you have the full air into you, you have full downforce and everything. But as soon as you are behind one car and next to another and you start having others here, because of the downforce you are losing, this is tricky because you need to brake, you need to lift a little bit, you need to go offline. You know, at those kind of speeds, we're talking about more than 190 miles per hour in the light car. Mm-hmm. So at those kinds of speed, if you go, like, let's say, half a car outside of the lane behind the car,
mm-hmm.
you can really feel how the air is pushing you down for downforce. And well, you say, okay, this is better. But you make this because you have a space to go outside. But if you have a car that is next to you, you have to deal with the understeer. And that is not easy because sometimes you have understeer and suddenly the front grips and you start to lose the rear. And well, it's very fun to drive an oval, but you really need a lot of focus into all the race.
So what were you thinking when you first came to Indianapolis, to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, realizing that you were going to race on this crazy 2.5 mile circuit?
The first session I did there, I thought, okay, this is big, this is long, this is fast, and this is fun. Well, I didn't realize the magnitude of being in that kind of event until the Friday of the Freedom 100.
Yeah.
I think when I saw that many people, I thought, okay, now this is real. This is, it's not an Indy 500, but it's the same weekend. We are the only championship that shares the track with that big cars. So this is real. We need to put a very good show. Nobody here is kidding. So, you know, the experience counts a lot on an oval. So this, for me, it will only count for experience. And, well, it made me a big experience running there.
You know, I've been telling people for a long time that the Indianapolis 500 is a great event, and I enjoy it. It's a spectacle. We've been fortunate the last couple of years. We've had some great racing, but that usually isn't the case for the 500. We don't always have great racing, and I've been telling people that the Firestone Freedom 100 is the absolute best racing action that they will see at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Do you agree with that assessment, or no, haven't been a participant in it now?
No, I agree in one part, but I think being just in Indy 500 is maybe not the race. The whole event is better, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They test there for 2 weeks. They have driver's parade. When you go on Sunday, you see just all the speedway so crowded that you can say not even a fly can fit in here. It's amazing how the first time I look on a Sunday, it's amazing how many people can go there.
Well, coming off of your first full season in Indy Lights here this year, you've signed on with Team More, a strong team who's done some really great things, ran at the front of the grid for a number of seasons. Tell us how you got connected with the Moores and how that deal kind of came together for you.
Well, since last year, I was always been talking to Mark. I think he saw something good from my last year, all the evolution I had from the full season. And well, obviously this year is a small field, but I think it's tighter than last year. All the top teams are in here, and you can see the times since the first session were already faster than last year first session on those kind of tracks, on the same kind of tracks. So, and we are very tight from P1 to P8. We are sometimes 4 tenths.
Yeah,
so,
I will agree. Sorry? The competition in the series this year is really just through the roof. I know we don't have that many cars, but wow, what a tough place to try and compete.
Yeah, I think I'm really happy about being this tough because it really teaches you how to make things work, how to push yourself because, hey, there's not enough cars, so you really need to go to keep the pack, you know? Like on Long Beach, man, we were from P2 to P7 on 2 tenths. It was really fun to drive there. It's one of my favorite tracks. But it's just very easy. If you make one mistake, the car behind you overtakes you.
Yeah.
If you make the car in front of you make a mistake, you can take advantage of that. And like in Iowa, I never had a race with a full green. Iowa last weekend, 115 laps under green. That was crazy.
Yeah, I will say that was
excited.
That was rather unique for Indy Lights at an oval. It was great clean racing by everybody. I must admit to being surprised myself that it went green the whole way. But going green the whole way, that means you don't get a chance to rest and take a breather. You're clicking off laps quick, and you had to be exhausted there after a bit.
Yeah, especially that day because we had 2 testing sessions, then qualifying, and then the race under the same day. The weather there was just too hot, was really too hot and very humid. So after the race, I was really exhausted.
Well, you started off the year with a great result there at St. Pete, P4, and you had a good result at Milwaukee as well, there in P5. Of course, Long Beach didn't quite end the way that you and your teammate had hoped.
Yeah.
And speaking of your teammate, though, it has to be tough when you're looking at 4 different teammates over the span of 6 races. How does that... I guess what I think of the other teams you're competing against, Bilardi with 2 drivers, Andretti Autosport with 2 drivers, and Schmidt with 3, and having all that additional data they can bring in, how much harder does it make you have to work, very often being either a single driver on the team or being paired up with a different driver every week?
Well, and being a single driver and a different driver every week is very similar because the other driver needs to adapt to those kind of cars and to the setups of this team. So it's pretty much I'm by myself everywhere.
Okay.
And this means that all the changes to the car, I need to do it instead of me testing one thing and the other car testing another thing. Like, I test in Mid-Ohio, and it was a really hard test day for me. I really test a lot of things that I think if I had a teammate, it could be easier. I ran so many laps. I never ran that many laps for a testing session like at Mid-Ohio last week.
Mid-Ohio is a tough track to be doing a lot of laps on with the elevation and the corners. That had to take it out of you.
Yeah, it's very physical. It's a very physical track. But like you told me, and that's because I don't have a teammate. So if I want to take advantage of that, I really need to test everything. And at the end, I was really happy we tested everything we wanted to. I finished exhausted, but well, I think it's part of my job, right? So I'm really happy how the things are going with Mark. It's very hard for us to improve faster because the lack of teammate, and I'm the only person that needs to evolve the car. Like as you said, with Tom, they have 3 different drivers that makes it easier to go faster. But I think we are doing a pretty good job out there. We are with old pack, with the cars that are 2 years and with the same drivers. That's a big improvement. With cars that are, with drivers that are three cars, we are running by ourselves, so we don't have anything to share. We don't have any other point of view, any other setup or anything. So I'm really happy with Mark Moore, with Tim Moore, because I know we're doing a pretty good job. But, well, if we wanted to make better, I think we need a larger team session for us to try to test more things or a teammate. But besides that, we're running pretty fast with the front guys.
There's a bit of an equalizer coming up. You're going to be joining the big cars, the Izod IndyCar Series, in their return to Pocono. And I believe this will be the first time the Indy Lights cars have ever run at the Tricky Triangle at Pocono. So the huge database that Schmidt and Andretti have built up on all these other venues isn't there. Are you thinking that here at Pocono that this will level the playing field a little bit? How optimistic are you about next week's race?
Well, in that kind of, in some point, I agree with you, but like with Tango Andretti, they have cars on IndyCar, so actually they already know like setups or things to go because they already test there. That at some point that makes it easier for them than for us. But, well, that obviously doesn't have to be an excuse. Like all the races, I try to go as front as much as I can. Like you saw on Long Beach, we proved that we have the speed, really good speed on races.
Mm-hmm.
Like on Barber, I was running P4 until I was penalized.
Mm-hmm.
I was catching P3. So we have a really good car on races. We just really need to improve more on qualifying. Qualifying and being midfield so short is very important because, like you saw on Iowa, it's really hard to pass here.
Yes.
Because all the cars are exactly the same. So you really need to push for a mistake of a car in front of you.
Well, thinking of the future, going ahead, have you thought about where you're going to be in 2014?
Well, actually, I don't think so much of that. I just want to finish as best as I can this season. Obviously, I would like to make IndyCar.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, I'm going to be able to do it. But, well, I just focus right now until this season.
Well, one more question, if you will, and this is a little frivolous question. If you had one day to spend at any track in the world with any racing driver from the present or the past, what track would you pick and with whom?
Well, that's a really hard question, you know, because from Europe, I love Monza and Spa. And from America, I love Long Beach GP and Sonoma. I think they are, how do you say, I think I love those kinds of tracks because all my racing years has been on racetrack,
mm-hmm.
not so much Oval.
Yeah.
And I think you were going to find funny, but I like pretty much Milwaukee because I think nobody wants Milwaukee, I think, that much, you know?
Yeah.
Every person that I say, well, that I talk about, they say, no, it's not a good track, it's very old and everything. Well, I like it, I don't know, but I think it's because I had there my best Oval result, and because of that, I'm pretty new to Oval, so I like that. Also, well, Indianapolis is amazing.
Yeah.
You need to like that track because you need to like it, you know. But only on Indy 500 because when you're testing, it's not that fun.
Yeah.
On Indy 500, it's really fun to drive there.
It's very different with the people.
Yes. I don't really have an answer for a driver that I can share a track. I don't know really, but maybe Juan Pablo Montoya. I was always looking into him for racing.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Juan Pablo. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to speak with us. And best of luck in Pocono and for the rest of the season.
Perfect. No, thanks to you. And hi to all the person that are listening to us. And for sure, if you later on you want another interview of something, I'm very open. We need to to, how do you say, to put everything together for the next one. I'm free. I'm free for you guys, you know.
We appreciate it. And I'll touch base with you in mid-Ohio when I arrive there.
Perfect. Yeah, for sure. I'll be there waiting.